Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Welcome again to another episode of The Sounds of Living Water. I'm Job Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel. Also, come and see Ministry Bible Study Class. And today, we are dealing with the Passover. The Passover. What is Passover? The Passover is something that the Father wrote in the law for man to keep. And I mean all of us, not just the Jews or the children of Israel, but all of us, all of mankind, are to keep the Passover. He gave it. Why? Because that's the son's sacrifice. That's the sacrifice of the Father that we all may take part in his son. And we do have a free will in this. If we decide to, then God willing, he will allow us to take part in that. And those things that he would allow us to take part in, he draws us into them. He actually calls us into those things. What do you mean? Well, the different administrations of the Spirit, those things that belong to him, you have multiple administrations of the Spirit. And most of us haven't reached our fullest potential of the Spirit because in a lot of cases we've been taught that those things don't exist, but they do. In fact, they exist the minute you come out the water when you're baptized. And that's when we should be seeking after those things and pursuing them because you fresh ground. You've just been watered. You like Adam coming out of the water. You ready. And you can ask the Lord to blow on all of your blessings and all of the seeds that he and all the gifts that he created you in, you know, for good at that time. And the strength to maintain those things, you can ask those things too, you know. This is all that, man, all that came through this shit thing, man, the Passover, man. The Passover is the door to the kingdom. Without the Passover, you don't get into the kingdom. Without the Passover, there isn't a kingdom. That's the whole thing, man. That's what we really got to get around to. Without the Passover, there isn't a kingdom. Let's go into Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to pick it up at 26. Matthew's 26:26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." You notice after he took the bread, it was after they were eating. You see, so it ain't like it's just bread and wine and that's the end of the story. No, it's a feast day. You can eat. You can bring your beef. You can bring your goat. You can bring a lamb. You can bring your fish, whatever. It's a feast. You just, whatever you bring, you just better know this. You can't keep it till the morning because you're going to have to throw it away, so don't bring a whole lot. Just wait until that, wait till the 15th day, then you can bring all the goods and everybody can take as much food home as they possibly can. My leftovers usually last me about a day and a half, especially if the feast is on the Sabbath. I'm smashing out Sunday. And when I get in from work, Monday, roughly a day and a half. But he said this, he said, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it unto his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink anew with you in my Father's kingdom.'" So it's a kingdom sign. It's always been. That's what he offered Abraham, bread and wine, because there won't be no more flesh and blood to even eat. Those days will be over with. When the Father's kingdom comes, those days will be over with. We're not eating flesh and blood anymore. It's only bread and wine. You know, and I get the last night of the feast is just that ain't no feast on the eighth day. That would be here, right here in 29. That vegetation feast, right here. 26:29, that's the Father's kingdom. That's the Passover. That's it. So let's get prayed in, y'all. We're going to get into this precept because this is all it's about, man, getting up under that blood and getting into the Father's kingdom. Amen. We're going to ask our brothers and sisters, brothers, if you can, stand and face Jerusalem and uncover your head. Sisters, if you can, and stand and face Jerusalem and cover your heads, and we approach the Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us. Father, have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to proceed and ask to see and ears to hear. And the mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform. And Father, have mercy on them that call. They also hear us, Father. Have mercy on them and send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well. Father, have mercy and give them a mind to perceive and ask to see and ears to hear and the mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray. For your mercies endure forever. Amen. So, let's pick this up in Exodus chapter 12. No, we're going to start this in Deuteronomy chapter 16 to know what we into, because, you know, the month of Abib came in last Saturday evening. It came in last Saturday evening in the States. And that kicked off the month of Abib, which brings us into the season, the new year season. What do you mean? Well, we actually in the fourth day of that 3 days and three nights scenario, because you're talking about, you got Sunday, you got the first night, you got Saturday night, right, new moon, then you got Sunday night, then you got Monday night, and then you got Tuesday night, which is the first, which would have been the fourth day. Now you have the slither of moon. You see it. Those of us that you know, wasn't under a cloud, you would be able to see it. Tonight, it'll be even more apparent. But 5 days ago, you didn't see nothing. You didn't see nothing but a circular object. That's called the new moon. And the 3 days and three nights is called the congenial moon. That's what our fathers kept. That's what David said, I'm going to hide in the field on the during the new moons, when Saul called the kings and the governors up. David was supposed to appear, but he said, I show up on the third day. What? The third day of the new moon cycle. The law of knowledge, that's the new moon right there. The one that we're supposed to be keeping and the one that we're supposed to acknowledge as the beginning of months for us. So it says this. Deuteronomy 16 and 1, it said, observe the month of Abib. Keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt by night. Nah. I ain't even going to bring that up. That was just sad. It was just sad. Anyway, the Lord talks about right here, he said, the month of Abib. When is Abib? We got to determine that. Some of us say that's the spring equinox, right? Some of us said it already came a new moon ago. Not a new moon ago, but a full moon ago. Some of us going to be partaking of Passover next week. Some of us are going to be taking the Passover a week later. But that's not, you know, it's all because we all see things differently. And when God get back, he'll set it, he'll straighten it out. But long as we trying, I just say, hey, long as we trying, I hope and pray that wherever we off at, the Father clear us up. That's for all of us. That include myself. What I don't see in the feast days, give me the understanding so I see it. And what my brother's talking about, that if there's if the full moon is the beginning of the month, then I have to see that in the creation, because there wasn't a full moon at all in the first 7 days of the creation. So I'm still there. I'm still there. I'm waiting. And then we got some of us that say, you know, you got to have 28 days in the Abib and stuff like that. And I'm like, that don't constitute a month. A month is 30 days. That's a 360 cycle. It only makes sense because the earth rotation, 360 cycles. The solar system, 360 cycles. Milky Way is in a 360 cycle. Time itself is 360. So, you know, no, we can't use 28 days. So that's out the window. So it's got all these different ideas, but let's look at what works. This works. It says, the Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not his covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talk with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of fire. You know, this that had to be something else. He gave the commandments out of the midst of fire on top of the mountain. Oh, my God. And I stood between the Lord to show you the word of the Lord, but you were afraid by the reason of fire. And you went up not into the mount, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So this is that thing. I am in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and 1, and I'm supposed to be in Deuteronomy chapter 16. Same thing. It says, no, it's not. Deuteronomy 16 and 1, it says, observe the month of Abib. And keep the Passover. I am going to have to get off earlier. I just truly observe the month of Abib. Keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For out of the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. So we're talking about the same conversation. It says this. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock of the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose, the place his name there. So he's given a law that we're supposed to sacrifice of the flock and the herd, which is cattle. Okay, but the flock is what he brought forth in Exodus chapter 12. We're going to look at that. And it says this, thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shall unleavened bread thou shalt eat unleavened bread therewith. So that's a conjunction. You eat unleavened bread with the Passover from that day forward. It says, 7 days shall thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction, for thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste. Yet thou mayest remember this the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. There shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy course. Neither shall there be anything of the flesh which thou sacrifice the first day of evening remain all night until the morning. And this is a running question with me. Now I ask brothers that have understanding or some kind of biblical sense or presence in the Word of God. I said, well, what do Deuteronomy 16 and 4 say? I'm going to ask this question for those of us that have biblical sense, what do the scriptures say? Now, how can I prove it? There shall no leavened bread be seen with thee all thy course 7 days, neither shall anything of the flesh which thou sacrificed the first day at evening remain all night until the morning. thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So right here we see that we're still talking about the Passover. He called it the sacrifice. He hasn't brought up the 15th day to even acknowledge anything about that sacrifice. He wouldn't just throw the 15th day in there like a curveball, like a, you know, a split finger or something, or a knuckleball. He wouldn't do that. He would show you what he bringing. I'm going to bring an over-the-top fastball right down the middle. I'm going to make sure you see it because it's going to be on fire. So he said here, nothing of the flesh which shall sacrifice the first day of evening shall remain until the morning. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within. He's still talking about the Passover from 3, 4, and 5. And he haven't changed any speeds. So, for all intended purposes, team has nothing to do with the law of Leviticus chapter when he talk about the 15th day. This is strictly the Passover. And then he go into the primary feast, you know, the Feast of Weeks, and then the Tabernacles that all of us must appear, all males, right? Which God himself can't break any laws. So if the 15th day is the day that all the males are supposed to appear, then why isn't he there? Why did he appear on the Passover instead of the 15th day? I'm just saying. And it says this. It says, now, thou mayest not sacrifice Passover within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God chooses, but at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, the place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover, at even at the going down of the sun, at the season thou came forth out of Egypt. Thou shalt roast and eat it in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And thou shalt turn in the morning and go into thy tents. See, so this is that sacrifice, man, that nothing can be eaten left for this. So this is the Passover. Now watch this. 6 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work therein. So right here, he still didn't say anything about the 15th day at all. Nothing. From 1 through 8, he was clear. This is all Passover conversation in how to eat unleavened bread. So if you go to Exodus chapter 12 and 1, it says this, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It is the first month of the year to you. So right here, this is the Abib, which is what we picked up in Deuteronomy chapter 16. That's when we call it the Abib, which is the first month. After this, then the world started naming the months, you know, whatever month is this and that and the other. But God gave us a specific month. Every month after this is numbers. The second month, the third month, the fourth month. It's nothing else. He used Abib as a catalyst of the beginning of the year, so nobody would get any confusion out of it. You see, so we picked up the conversation of the names of the month through captivity, Persians, through the Greeks, and then now the Romans. You know, that's how we ended up with the names of the month. But the God of Israel only addressed them with numbers after Abib. This is why we're looking at this. And then it says this, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take them, every man, a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb born house. So in the 10th day, they're going to take this lamb and set him aside. What do you mean? They got to pick the first and the best. The purest one that they got without blemishes. This is the one that the God of Israel is choosing. You know, and more times than not, if it's the first one, it's usually the biggest and the strongest, because that's the beginning of strength. And that's what God is going to offer, the beginning of his strength. It says, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Okay, so here's the thing. Now, he said in the 14th day, he said, of the same month, the whole assembly of the congregation going to kill it. So this is still in Egypt. And you got some of us saying that we can't keep the law in our enemy's land. And this is clear. He said, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. He's talking about us actually participating in the Passover in Egypt. So keeping a Passover in Egypt had to be a no-brainer trying to, you know, I mean, keep this regular weekly Sabbath day. You see, that's another thing, you know, keeping a weekly Sabbath day, then you in Egypt, that's a doozy. That's why he had to free us from that. So that we can start taking the Sabbath day. He didn't introduce it to us as a kingdom until Exodus chapter 16. That's when he started bringing in the Sabbath. And he says this, and he said, and you shall take of the blood, strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. So this place that the Lord shall choose is you. Who's ever baptized? Maybe everybody's in a house baptized. That's a beautiful thing. Maybe it's your house and you're the head of the house and you're the only one baptized. Maybe it's the wife, she's baptized. But however, that house is covered because who's ever in there, that's the child. Okay, maybe you got two adults. That you may have a child that's living with his parents and he's 30 years old, baptized. 20 years old, baptized. You know, that house is covered. Because of him. This is that thing. So this is the house that he chose to place his name there, where the blood is at, that he see the blood, that everybody just baptized. Wherever you at, that's where he at. That's what he's talking about. And he said, and they shall take of the blood, strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. He didn't say nothing about the temple. Nothing about the temple. Not even in the law. Not even in the law. Not even in Samuel's or the Kings or Chronicles or anything like that. It's nothing about the temple. It's always been about the people doing it at home, in their houses. And it says this, verse 8, 12 and 8. It does say, eat. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with and unleavened bread, with butter or with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. So there it is. So it's the same conversation. Same conversation. But in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and 4, he called it the first night. Here, he's showing us the protocol. He's giving Moses how the whole kingdom is supposed to keep it. And then when he talked to Levitic Levi, he's talking to us as the no, because the Levitical priesthood is actually in order right now. It's actually in function. So he's talking to the priest like as in the no because of Moses right here. So when he goes in and starts talking to them, he don't have to break it down like he's doing right here. Right here, he got the whole kingdom involved. This is that thing. It says this. And also, you got to eat it. He keep making mentions, man. You got to eat it with unleavened bread. Somebody said, man, you ain't even got to take the unleavened bread out of your houses, man. I just stopped talking. I couldn't say nothing else. I mean, at this point, I realized that this is not going to end well. If somebody tell you, man, that you can have leavened bread in your house on the Passover, they are grossly in error when it comes to the law, because the law tell you you're not supposed to have any leaven in your house on the Passover. Period. None. In case you might slip up, you're not supposed to have it. Why would you have leaven in your house? You can't eat it. It says you can't eat no leaven in therewith. So why would you have it around tempting the children? Point when I was talking to some of these elves, mate, and I don't get it. I just don't. This don't make any sense to me. Not to that. You know, that you can eat leavening after you eat the Passover. That is like, that's like eating chitlins after eating the Passover to me. You shall eat nothing leavening in all your habitations. You shall eat unleavened bread. Notice there's nothing here. Well, let me skip all these verses. Okay, let me pick it up at 17. It says this, and ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, and this, for in this self same day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Now, which one? Now, what day is that? I thought he did it on the Passover. Then how can it be the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Then which one is it? Right. For in the self same day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, ye shall observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month of the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at evening. He just did the math for it. In case you didn't understand how to subtract 7 from 21 and you'll get 14, or you subtract 14 from 21 and you'll get 7. Or you can add 7 and 14 and you get 21. So you see right here, he's clearly talking about the Passover, the 14th day of the month at evening. And you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 21st day of the month. Well, at sundown, with 21st day of the month, you can eat. This is that thing. Amen. So, he said, Moses called for all the elders and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in blood and in a basin and strike the lentils and the two side posts with that on the basin. None of you shall go out of the door out of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. The Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. So the Lord is about to send the spirit of death, or the angel of death. You know, a lot of us like to interpret this as Satan, you know, and which pick it up in Revelations, is he's called Apollyon, you know, or Abaddon, which means the destroyer, which is in Greek. And this is that thing. Cover the houses with blood, man, because when the angels see the blood, he's going to pass by you. Now, if you in this world and you're covered in the blood of Jesus, the angel is supposed to pass by you. Or if the angel is looking to see to whom he may devour, that blood give you a pass. He's not supposed to touch you. You see, he can't touch you. This is that thing. He said, you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye be come into the land which the Lord give you, according to all his promise, that ye shall keep the service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean by this service? And you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover when he passed over the houses of see, this is the judgment. He passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered out their houses and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshiped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Well, yeah. When you think about all this stuff that's been going on and what they saw, you know, the fire running on land and lightnings and thunderbolts and lice and frogs and the water turned into blood. Yeah. Yeah, this is that thing. But the Israelites that was locked up in jail, if you was in jail and you was a firstborn, that was your destiny, that you would not be up under the blood. That's a crazy scenario to be judged there like that. Yeah, so just a little further. So, yeah, let's continue. 29, and it came to pass that at midnight, and a lot of us believe that that's at 12 o'clock, and it's not. We really, you know, midnight could be like 9 o'clock in some ways, you know. It depends on what you call, some of us have 24-hour increments, like in Kenya. It's exactly because by the equator, they are 12 hours day, 12 hours night. So day, night, and day is consisted of exactly 12 hours. So at whatever sunset it may be, at mid, that would be 6 hours. You see, so if sunset is at 6 o'clock, then 12 o'clock midnight would be mid. But if sunset is at 9, then midnight is at 3, because you have the 6 hour increment. You see, or if sundown is at 3, then midnight is at 9. You see, this is that thing. So you this analogy or this thought that it got to be 12 o'clock midnight, that's not true. That's not true. The only way we can really figure it, we want to crunch the numbers, we can sit down and crunch the numbers and look at that according to the feast day. What would be the midnight at that time? And it says this, and it came to pass that at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that he sat on the throne, from the firstborn of the captives that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. See, that's Israel, of the captives that was in the dungeons. He killed them too. Oh, well. What was you doing in there? They got you there, right? That's a question. You know, or if you was innocent, that's a good place for you, because now you're going to wake up innocent. Either or, the judgment is perfect, but they didn't make it out of that dungeon. They died there. That's a crazy thing. When you read this, that's the last place they spent life. And Pharaoh rose up that night. Let's see how he did that. So he said this, and it came to pass at midnight that the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. And this is that thing. Now, let's look at that. Let's go to Psalms chapter 78 and 43. Psalm 78 and 43. Oh, man, that wine can't go down the road. Okay, I'm good. Psalm 78, yeah. Yes, I still eat wine candy and watermelons, and still my favorite. Still my favorite, wine candy. Even though they don't taste the same by millenniums, but yeah, every now and again I catch that feeling, like I do for Twizzlers. 78 and 43, how he wrought his signs in Egypt, his wonders in the field of Zoan. So this is that time when he delivered us on the Passover. This is leading up to that. He had turned their rivers into blood and the floods that they could not drink. That's where Israel saw it. They saw all of that. He sent all divers sorts of flies, which devoured them, and the frogs, which destroyed them. So he got flies and frogs. He got flies biting the hell out of people, and the frogs stinking up everything. Israel was in the middle of all that. They felt that. It was physical for them. He gave them increases to the caterpillars and their labor onto the locusts. That's when he separated us, because we were going to leave out with wealth. By this time, the Lord is dealing with their economy, and he's building up ours. So he said this, he said, and he destroyed their vine with hail seed, and their sycamores with trees with frost. And he gave up their cattle also to the hail, and their flocks to the hot thunderbirds. Now get this, he said, He froze their trees up. Well, why? Because the Passover is the end or the begin. It's the end of the winter. You know, 14 days before the Passover is the end of the winter. You know, once you're done, once you come into Abib, that's summer. You're in the summer. That's all to it. He gave up their cattle also to hail and their flocks to high thunderbolts. And if Israel was out there working, they got zapped. And some of us was that kind of Israelite that would get out there in lightning and be trying to work for master like that and get zapped by God. Right? And it says, and he cast upon them the fierceness of his anger and his indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. So this a plural. So it wasn't just one. And then it says here, it says, and he made his way to his angel. He spared not their souls from death and gave their life over to the pestilence. He smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham. So you see that the Lord said he sent angels to deal with that thing, you know. But he did say when he was going to send forth the destroyer over Egypt to smite the firstborn, that was singular. That would lead us to believe that was Satan. He called to kill the firstborn that we're reading about here in Psalm 78 and 49 and 50. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. Because remember now, this is what the Passover is about. It's about us being delivered that evening. Exodus 12 and Pharaoh rose up that night, and he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there were a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. What if they didn't have any children and wanted a husband or wife were actually one of them? You see? What if they were one of the children? This is that thing. Right. What if you said it wasn't a house, there wasn't one, that there was not one dead? That's a super city. So you got two couples that never had children, but one of them is a firstborn because the law can't lie. Ooh, that was horrible. That was horrible. And then it says this, and the Egyptians was, he said, and take your flock. He said, no, let me pick it up. At 31, and he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord, as ye have said. And also take your flock and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we all be dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their needles, thoughts being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. That's why we get that thing, you know, Israel don't pay back, because there was no way we was paying it back. It says, in the Lord gave unto the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And so this is the thing. So, and it goes on. So once again, he attacking the economy. He said, and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Sukkoth, about 600,000 on foot. There were men besides children, and it was a mixed multitude. Also, there was a mixed multitude of also with them, and flocks and herds and very much cattle. So it wasn't just Israelites that left on the Passover that believed in God. It was strangers also. And here come their conversation in this mix. It says, and they baked unleavened cakes of dough which they had brought forth out of Egypt, for it had not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not carry. Neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals. Now, the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt were 430 years. See, this is that conversation he had with Abraham. Right, Genesis 12. Yeah, here it is. Genesis 15 and 13, it says, and he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 430 years. See, this is the thing, man. This is just written in the law. It had nothing to do with us, our righteousness or unrighteousness or anything like that. It was just in the law, period, that we were going to be there and the God of Israel was going to come and save us and deliver us from there. This is that thing. This is that conversation right now. So it said, and it came to pass at the end of 430 years, at even the self-same day, came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Wow. So he said, all of us, man, that's all of us. No hiding, right? I'm staying in Egypt. Nah, you out of here. The law is I want all Israelites out of Egypt. That'll be like I want all black people out of America. We just determine the law right now because your God said it. It said, and then it goes on, it says, and it is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for the bringing them out of from the land of Egypt. From the land of Egypt, this is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And remember that it's a mixed multitude. And so he goes in on them. And he said, 12 and 43, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. So one, if you know somebody, and you want to invite them to the feast, don't invite them to the Passover. Just don't do that. I mean, if you're going to invite them somewhere, invite them to the 15th day. Invite them to the last night. Invite them in between, you know, on the Sabbath day, you know, on a wave offering. You know what I mean? But not on the Passover. You can't eat that. You can't touch the Passover. Passover isn't for anybody that don't know God. Because nobody won't be in the presence of God to take the Passover. If you don't know the Passover, you don't know God. So you won't be there. That's the problem. That's why he's saying no servant, nobody, no strangers can't eat it. Right? So stop inviting people to the feast on the Passover. You're not saving them. You're bringing them in trouble. It says, verse 44, but every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. See, the Passover is supposed to be for the circumcised. So therefore, everybody that's circumcised can eat of the Passover. Remember now, Isaac was circumcised when he was 8 days old. Ishmael was circumcised when he was 13 years old. Well, if you do your creation calendar from when he said, let there be light, I ain't talking about those that said that you got to wait on the new moon, but those of us that said, that believe that the first day is let there be light, you count 14 days from that, here comes New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. This is that thing. New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. So this is the whole point of keeping the Passover. You want to be there with the Father, man. This is the only time the Father came down with Jesus on the cross. He came down. He bowed to heavens. And he walking through them last few minutes, man. Christ might have just got weak and blew the mission and just out of being incoherent and just towered up and just jumped, you know, blew the whole setup. Who knows? But the Father was there, and he just went on and just let it ride, man. He went to sleep. Gave up the ghost. But I know his body was on fire, man. I know he was on fire. Because Satan gave him his best. He said he was going to bruise his heel, but that meant that was going to be a whole lot of bruise, and so much that he wasn't going to last the rest of that day. He said that his body was so marred more than any man. How is that? How can your body be marred more than any man? This is that conversation. Right? So let's look at this a little further. It says this. Every servant that is bought for money, right? Because remember how we bought. We bought for a price. That's the blood, right? It says this. When thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat the Passover thereof. You know, some of us think you got to be circumcised to get baptized. That's not the law. But you got to be circumcised to take the Passover. And, you know, if you're gonna get baptized, man, it's a no-brainer that you're going to get circumcised. But it don't. There's no law that either or had to take place. I know some of us do that because some of us said we need to be rebaptized because we were baptized when we were uncircumcised. And some of these cats got baptized again. And there's no law that says that a person that's uncircumcised can get baptized. I mean, you know, if you want to do over and if you can find a loophole, Godspeed. I hope it worked out. It says this, a foreigner or a hired servant shall not eat. Like you got to eat thereof. Now you got some of us that got like houses and businesses and stuff like that to serve God. And we about to get ready to eat the Passover, you know, and take part. Here comes some guy that just got you doing your plumbing or somebody that works for you. You got a company or something and they work for you. And, you know, they say, hey, what's going on here? Well, it's the Lord's Passover. Really now? You mind if I know? No, right now, it's kind of like a family thing, but I tell you what, I'll give you a call. We're really going to be doing a gig tomorrow. This is when you want to come, okay? And you can break it down to them, you know, but the Passover isn't for anybody. I'm not a hired servant, not somebody who don't know God. You cannot introduce the Passover to anybody that don't know God. And that's the thing. It says, in a house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not, it says, a foreigner, a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. There you go again. He didn't say temple. He said house. Thou shalt not carry forth of the flesh out of the house. That's why you only bring so much. You know why? Because, you know, you're going to have to throw it away. So don't be coming up with your filth and Hennessy, you know, on the Passover because you can't, in the morning time, if you ain't done with it, Jack, you're going to have to pour it out. Exactly. So, no, wait until the 15th day when you could do a big, I mean, really big. You know, right now, the Passover is about what Jesus did big for us, you know, right? It says, and when a stranger, no, let me read that 46. In one house shall it be eaten. And thou shalt not carry forth out of the flesh abroad out of that house, of the house. Neither shall ye break a bone thereof, because they was going to break Jesus' legs, but he was already dead. And he said, all the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when the stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and when and then let him come near to keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. This is that thing. So you got to be circumcised, you know, in order to take part in the Passover. This is why, you know, there's going to be a great white throne judgment, and that, you know, all flesh is going to be circumcised on the eighth day in the creation. Because we're going to take part in Passover, which will happen to be the fourth day, the 14th day in the creation of God, and the ninth day in the creation of man, which nine only mean eternity or everlasting. So 9 and 14 meet up at the same place, everlasting, right? And it says, one law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourn among you. Thus did Moses unto the children of Israel, and commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it says here, and it came to pass in the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. So the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And then you start hearing this conversation of the children of Israel being delivered out of Egypt all over the world, because everybody heard of that. Nobody never heard of such a thing, that a whole kingdom of slaves, a whole world of slaves just got, just walked out, you know, asleep. You know, those things were unheard of. So the whole world heard about it, and they feared our God because they knew that he was real. And at that point, it was nothing we could do that could be wrong. The God was our favorite. Our God was our favorite. So this is that thing. So, yes, man, this is the Passover. This is why there is a sacrifice of the Passover, because he delivered us out of Egypt. Now, there's another part of this. It's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is part of the Passover. We're going to get into that. And then, God willing, we're going to get into the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the 15th day. We're going to get into those things. So that's coming up in the near future, God willing. So with that being said, I did it again. Yes, I did. There it is. I gotta find that button. It's really not that complicated. It's not. It's just me. I'm making it more complicated than what it is. That's what I'm looking for right there. Oh, God. People, I am not tech savvy, but I'm getting through this, man. It's touching me. And if y'all can put up with my manners, man, God of Israel, oh, man, we got so much we got to get through. So much we're going to get into with this gospel. So, my computer is really running slow. One is that this Wi-Fi is trying to go to a 4G, and it's in between the 4G and the 3, and I'm getting this weird signal and feedback. But the minute you want to close the app, guess what? It want to speed up, you know, stuff like that. That's what, you know, it's tech do. Play with your patience and things like that. Okay. This is really going to be slow. I'm telling you. tell you, this website is really dope. Oh, there it is, great. Now I won't show up. There we go. Apologies. Okay, now we can close this joint out. There it is. And like we say here, read that Bible. Really? Okay, they're going to make me play the other version. Get it. Audio is stuck. You kidding me? Oh, okay, now it's reading.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water.
From Genesis to Revelation, preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.